Morning. Shabbat Shalom.
Good morning. Yeah, Shabbat Shalom.
We'll wait us about a minute or two.
Okay. Judy.
Okay.
Good morning. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Good morning to all.
Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Hannah.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute since we know that we've got everybody on, or more people
okay.
on, I should say.
So this class is a Psalms class. My expectation is that we will be reading and evaluating and learning about Psalm 67 for a few weeks, because there is so much to learn. And what we learn will also enhance our understanding of the earlier Psalms that we've already studied and the Psalms that will be coming later. We will start with the Psalms landing page. And that can be found on the unique astrological times link underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. Or on mobile devices, it's usually at the bottom of the page. When the unique astrological times link opens up, scroll down to the Tanit Dibur section. And the second link under that is the Psalms landing page. When that link opens up, scroll down to Psalm 67. I will start with the Lashem Yichud, as is our normal pattern. Lashem Yichud kudsha barichu ishkinte biti zuvurhimu uchilu uchilu urhimu. Leata Lashem Yuhe Bavate Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limun Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vahino Amadunai Elohino Alena Maaseya Deno Kurune Alena Maaseya Deno Kurunehu. Tehillim 67. This psalm is known as an especially revered prayer. It too speaks of the era of the ingathering of the exiles and the wars of Gog and Magog, a time when the Lord will be one. These are phrases connecting to the birth pangs of Mashiach, or the coming of Mashiach. This is the Kavanah to use at when we're saying this psalm within the frame of Psalms. We will have different kavanot at different times because we utilize this psalm in different ways than we utilize most of the other psalms. Psalm 67 is a unique psalm, as one finds out the more they study the psalm. Here are recommended items to begin or to continue your study. And today we will be reading from the first link, which is titled Psalm 67 from Hano. But I will finish reading because we will also be utilizing Rabbi Sutton's Yearning for Redemption PDF. The first word is Lamnatseah. There are 8 verses in Psalm 67, and 8 is a number that connects to the Sephirah of Bina. Bina is the energy store. It's the source of fulfillment of light in this world. It represents Olam Haba, the world that is coming, as opposed to this world, the world of physicality and the world of tikkun, the world of correction that we are living within at this moment. Please open up the link to Rabbi Sutton's list of Psalms and scroll down to Psalm 67, where I will begin reading. I will ask if there are any questions before I start to read. Psalm 67 is called the Menorah Psalm because it is perfectly symmetrical and fits perfectly into the form of a seven-branched menorah. After its four-word superscript, or verse 1, whose 20 letters serves as the flames of the menorah, the psalm contains seven verses with a total of 49 words. The first and last verses, the outer branches of the menorah, contain seven words respectively. 7 + 7 = 14. The second and second to last verses, or branches, contain six words each. 6 + 6 = 12. The third and third to the last verses, or branches, not only contain six words each, but are identical. And 6 + 6 = 12. The fourth branch and the third to the last branch and verses not only contain six each, but are identical. 6 + 6 = 12. The fourth verse or branch is exactly midway between the two extremities. It contains 11 words, bringing the total number of words in verses 2 to 8 to 49. This middle verse also happens to contain 49 letters. When the entire psalm is drawn in the form of a seven-branched menorah, this verse is the middle shaft or spine of the menorah, while the verses that surround it are its branches. Content-wise, also, this psalm is perfectly symmetrical. It is also one of the most perfect expressions of the universal God idea or Hashem behind all Jewish teachings. In addition, according to a tradition recorded by the Chida, Rabbi Chaim Joseph David Azulai, in his Midbar Kadmot, this psalm originated when Hashem showed it prophetically to Moshe Rabbeinu. Later, while in a state of Ruach HaKodesh, King David envisioned it engraved on a sheet of gold in the form of a menorah. He then engraved the menorah psalm on his own golden shield. Whenever he would go out to war, he would contemplate its mystery. His enemies would then miraculously fall before him. I'm going to break to an aside at this moment. The word shield in Hebrew is magen. So many times it's described as Magen David. Many times it's translated as the Star of David, because it is a six-pointed star composed of two triangles. an upper triad and a lower triad, which are mirror images of each other. But then conceptually, either the lower triangle moves up or the higher triangle moves low, moves down. But they form the well-known Star of David, Magen David, Shield of David. But this is another form of the Tree of Life. Now, you're used to seeing the Tree of Life with 10 circles. When it comes to the Magen David, it's talking about the world of Tikkun. Excuse me, the world of Tikkun. The world of our physical world. The world of seven continents and seven seas. The world of seven notes in music, the world of seven colors in the rainbow, the world that we know. But this world that we know creates or allows us to utilize the language of branches. As much as this last verse that I spoke we have the Star of David, the Shield of David. It's only 6 points, but we know that the seven lower sephirot are within the physical world. So where is the seventh? And we have been taught that the seventh is in the center. Some people will tell you it's the plate that the two triangles rest upon, or perceived as the background. There is jewelry that is made for many people that have the two triangles, the six-pointed star, but rarely do they put it against the background. It is the seventh, the plate, which is described here in what I just read. But the question I'm asking right now is, where did you put the engraved menorah on the shield? When you heard me read it, where did your mind go? Did you put it in the center of it so that the star surrounds the menorah? Did you put it in the right corner above the star, the left corner, the left upper, the left lower, the right upper, the right lower? I want you to contemplate that. There's no right answer. There are times when it needs to be in all five locations. And what do those five, the number five, represent to you? As students of Kabbalah, it should represent the Partsufim, Arichan Pin, Abba, Ima, Zeramtin, and Malchut, or the Bat, the daughter. I will continue to read. whenever King David would go out to war, he would contemplate its mystery, that of the menorah or that of his shield. The answer is up to you. His enemies would then miraculously fall before him. The menorah psalm thus has a special power to confer success. According to tradition, anyone who contemplates the menorah psalm each day and concentrates on its mystery is considered as if he had kindled the heavenly menorah. He may then be assured that he is a ben olam haba, a child of the world that is coming, even while alive in this world. What Rabbi Sutton did not say but hinted at in this last sentence is the world that is coming is already here.
Marco.
It's when you choose to connect to the world that is coming and to leave behind the world of chaos. When you choose spirituality over physicality, the world that is coming, Olam Haba, is here within you. Even as your senses still perceive the world of tikkun, the world of physicality, your consciousness has been elevated to the world of Olam Haba. The fact that this psalm is about universal peace and perfection, and yet at the same time was used as a war psalm, is not a contradiction, for it is nothing less than a prayer for the amplification of consciousness on this planet to the point where war will no longer be desirable or possible. In other words, it contains the secret for ending all war. We're going to now proceed to the link from the Psalms landing page that I mentioned, Psalm 67 from Hanno. And as I said, we will be reading and studying the psalm for a while. And as you can see from what Rabbi Sutton has said, there is much more to this psalm than we have ever heard before. We will be teaching the Kavanah, the intention, the meditative state that has been used for centuries in Jewish prayer as it relates to Psalm 67. Psalm 67 is commonly called the Menorah Psalm, and this is because it has seven significant verses out of a total of eight verses. We usually do not count the first verse of a psalm, since it frequently is announcing the name or the type of psalm. As Rabbi Sutton taught, and he was not teaching on his own, it's part of the tradition, that each of us, it's recommended to add Psalm 67 to your daily prayers, whether you do them in the afternoon, or you do them in the morning, or you do them in the evening, or you do them in all three. It is recommended at least once a day and up to three times a day to be saying this psalm directly from the menorah. I'm continuing to read. As an aside, there are coincidentally 10 types of psalms. The word psalm or tehillim in Hebrew has the meaning of a song. There is the Ashrei Psalms. There is the Ashrei, the praise, which is called the Keter. There is the Shir, the song, which is Chachma. But there are actually two forms of the Shir. There's the Shir, which is the male, and the Shirah, which is the female. There's a bracha, a blessing, which is bina. There is mizamir, which is chesed. There is a nigun, a wordless tune, which is givurah. This is, in our generation, I believe, it's been brought out of the Chabad organization to some of the other aspects of or groups that are calling themselves Jewish and as they are. And many people follow and feel uplifted by nigunim, the plural of a nigun. But it is a tune that has no words. It expresses the emotions within the song itself. Hallelujah is a type of psalm that would be translated as praise the name Yah, Yud-Heh. This is Tiferet. This is the balance point. Hodu, thankfulness. Runanu, a running type of song. It's called Yesod. It's the idea of running to the physical world and returning to connect back into the spiritual. Bringing the light with you when you run to the physical. And elevating the sparks when you return to the spiritual, the Yesod. And then Tehillim is the tenth, it's called Malchut. Tehillim is translated as a song or a psalm, but there is much more to each one of these words. Many of these words are used in the first verse of the various psalms, and it teaches you about these. The psalm that you're about to read or study. Because in Torah, just reading is study. Just reading allows the letters to enter your soul and make changes. Slow changes, but changes nonetheless. We will skip this Shaviti link for now, because it would just give us an aside. We will cover it in one of the other links in the Psalms landing page. The word Shaviti is not well understood by modern people. Shaviti is a form of artwork using Hebrew letters and Torah text to create a protection shield, a magen, as in Magen David. Most modern people attribute the protection aspect to superstition. It also depends on the consciousness of the person who draws the Shaviti. Make that very much part of your learning today. There are many different Shviti that you have observed in your study of Kabbalah, in various books that you've read. The strength, the power, the essence of each Shviti depends on the consciousness of the person at the moment they drew it. Were they drawing it to sell so they would have some material wealth? Were they drawing it to praise Hashem? Were they drawing it with the consciousness of Hashem? And many other different levels of consciousness that a human being can have as he draws a picture with Hebrew letters. Please note that the Shviti from the Yazamra organization, let me double check something. I'm opening up the Menorah Shviti link in this, but it's no longer available. So, in the Yazamra Shviti, which is on the Yazamra.org website, it has the first verse as the lights on the menorah. The first verse has 20 letters, and thus fits into the seven candlelights with three letters each, except the middle candle has only two letters. Then verse 2 is written into the left candle. Verse 3 is written next to verse 2, moving towards the right, and verse 4 next to verse 3. Verse 5 is the middle candle and has 49 letters. Verse 5 is usually longer than the other verses and is written as part of the base as well. Verse 6 is next to the middle candle to its right, and verse 7 is next to verse 6. And verse 8 is the last arm of the menorah, to the right. Here is the verse written in Hebrew letters. Try to transform the Hebrew letters as being vertical rather than horizontal, so you can perceive them within the menorah frame. Lam Natseach bin Ginot Mizmor Shir Elohim Yechanenu Vivarkenu Ya'er Panav Itanu Sela. Remember, every time you see the word Sela, it's asking you to contemplate what you just read. La da'at ba'aretz darkecha b'kol goyim yeshuatecha Yoducha amim Elohim Yoducha amim kulam Yismechu v'ranenu le'umim ki tishpot amim Mishor ulumim Ba'aristan him selah. Contemplate what was just read. Do you have to understand it? Do you have to translate it into English? Or can you contemplate the Hebrew letters without the need, the desire to understand? Can you ever understand Hashem? Obviously not completely, because you are not on the level to be everything as Hashem is. This tool to resist understanding while contemplating what you don't understand is a tool to utilize to grow spiritually, because it allows your conscious mind to run to your unconscious mind, and ultimately you will return, but you will return with insights. It's a tool that takes practice, a lifetime of practice. Verse 6. Yoducha amim Elohim, Yoducha amim kulam, Eretz not naivu laiv arkeinu, Elohim Eloheinu, Yiv arkeinu, Elohim v'yiru oto kol afsei aretz. You'll notice there were no vowels. I was reading the Hebrew, not a transliteration. Are my vowels correct? Are any vowels correct when it comes to the Hebrew letters? Or are all the vowels correct when it comes to the Hebrew letters? Please try to read or scan the letters directly from the menorah candles themselves. Initially, people find it easier to turn the sefer, the book, so that they see the letters more normally. Actually, it is helpful in developing your meditative strengths to try to adjust your vision without turning the book. In any event, it is recommended that you read or scan this psalm from the menorah. As hinted at above, read right to left, starting in the flames of the candles. As you reach the left candle, start reading down the left candle, and then progress verse by verse, candle by candle, from left to right. Your last eye or head movement is to see the tetragrammaton in unity with the name Adonai. Then move your vision down the menorah, trying to see all of it, and finish by seeing the letters of the Anabatoah as the manifestation of the creation. Without having a Shviti in front of you, the design, the image in front of you, it can be difficult. But you will find on the internet many different shvitim of the menorah. If you have any problem finding one, give me a call and I will send you a link, or send me an email and I'll return it. There's the transliteration. And the translation is where we will skip to. Verse 1, for the leader with string music, a psalm, a song. But the word psalm, tehillim, and the word song, shirah, or shir, is in the first verse. Is there a difference between a psalm and a shir? And your answer was in the names of the 10 types of psalms. There are 4 words and 20 letters, as we were taught by Rabbi Sutton. The letters are put directly on the flame of the candles. And I have heard that differently, that the letters of the first verse are above the kemps. The letters are in groups of three, except for the middle shamash candle, which is only two. Each of these three letters has some significance. Even while it is said that we ignore the first verse, since it only tells us what type of song is being sung. The four connects to the four worlds and or the four letters of the Tetragrammaton, or the four levels of the Pardes of the garden, the Pshat, the Remes, the Drash, and the Sod. And if you don't recognize those terms, I'll explain them, but you'll have to ask a question about them first. The 20 letters connect to the shekel from the temple times, the holy shekel as it is referred to in the Torah. And 20 is 2 times 10, representing the 10 sephirot of direct light and the 10 sephirot of returning light. What we learn here is many different formulas for verses in the Torah. I haven't explained this up to now because we would never move past the first psalm. But if you take the first verse of each psalm and combine it into three-letter verses, three-letter words, not verses, three-letter words, although each word is a verse. You can do so as it's done in the Shviti by taking the order of the letters. Or you can take the first letters of each word and put them into groups of three letters each. You can take the second letters the same way, and so forth. When you lack the ability to do three, you may do 1, 2. If you only have letters where you need to cycle it into four, you may do that as well, but not as often, not as many. Start with the three and try and put them together. See if you develop any of the 72 names, or the 72 names revealed by the Tzaddikim. Or do you form actual words? Shorashim. There is much to contemplate, much to learn through this process. It also helps you grow your knowledge of the Hebrew language. The second verse. Hashem be gracious to us and bless us. May his face shine towards us. Selah. First off, I said the word Hashem, but the English is God. But we know to translate God, there's so many different names of God that are translated as God, it doesn't tell us anything. But what name was actually used in that second verse? Go back and read the name. Which one is it? If you went back and looked, you saw that it was Elohim. Do you recognize this verse? It's one of the three verses of the blessing from the Kohanim. What does it mean that his face shines towards us? right now we are in a period of back-to-back. Or at least Hashem has turned his back. Maybe we are facing Hashem. But for most of the world, it is both of us facing away from each other. Chas v'shalom. There are six words with 25 letters. And as a student of Kabbalah, one should realize that these numbers have meaning to us. What do you think they were? They mean? You know that six words represents the spiritual world of Yesod. Six words represents the six levels of Zeranpin, the six emotions of Zeranpin. The 25 letters represents 5 times 5. And whenever you hear the 5, you can think of the 5 worlds or the 5 partsufim. Remember, a partsuf, the singular of partsufim, is a structure of 10 sephirot, a complete structure of 10 sephirot. The names of the partsufim are Arishan Pin for Keter, Abba for Chachma, Ima for Bina, Zeran Pin for the 6 emotions that collapsed into relative nothingness as part of the creative process. And Malchut, the manifestation five times five, a structure of 100 sephirot, which represents completion. Doesn't mean perfection until all of the various frames of reference have a complete structure of 5 times 5. Verse 3. May your pathways become known upon and within the land, and your salvation come from all the nations. There are 6 words and 25 nations. Do these mean the same thing as the same numbers from verse 2? I'll leave you to answer that question directly for yourself. Verse 4. The peoples will give thanks to you, O God, Hashem, Elohim. Which name of God is used in verse 4? Let all the nations give thanks unto thee, all of the nations and the people. 6 words with 26 letters. You know the 6 words represents the spiritual concepts, the 6 emotions. And 26 represents Hashem. But the name that was used is Elohim. So why is the gematria 26? Why are the letters 26 letters? And the answer is, wait for us. The answer is, Elohim always needs to be connected to Hashem. So the 26 letters is connecting and serving as the control mechanism for the judgments associated with Elohim. Verse 5. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. You will judge the nations equitably and be the leader of the nations. Selah. Are you looking for Mashiach? Are you looking for Mashiach to be your king? Or is Hashem your king? Question I'm asking, it's a question for you to contemplate. There are 11 words and 48 letters. But the Ari teaches us that there are 49 letters, and if you count them yourself, you will find that there's a vav that's missing in one of the words. And what is the meaning of a vav that does not exist in the physical level? Does it mean it's not there? Or that it is there? And we need to search for it. The number 11 connects to the ketoret, the 11 components of the incense that draws us closer to Hashem. The negative side of that is that the number 11 connects to the 10 sephirot of the tree of life plus the negative system. Letters. In the Pirkei Avot section of the Talmud, one of the sections, one of the chapters, deals with the 48 methods to acquire Torah. Is spelled Mem Ket. If we put vowels to these two letters, we have Moach. Moach means brains. It means intellectual. It means above the physical world. Verse 6. This has 6 words and 26 letters. And the words and letters and verse is a duplicate of the 4th verse. So what do you think these words mean? What do you think you learned or supposed to learn from the fact that these 2 verses, the 4th and the 6th, are mirror images of each other? I'll give you one explanation of a mirror image. It's a teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, but before him, many other sages taught this same thing. And coincidentally, there was an email that I received that spoke about the mirror. And the essence of the mirror is when you see, judge, perceive a particular character trait in another human being, then one must look into oneself because that character trait is your mirror showing you that it is within you and it needs to be dealt with, corrected. The fact that you perceive it in others is how you know that it's in you. But I will tell you, very few people are willing to accept that statement, the typical response when they see someone is angry, they might think, I get angry sometimes, but I'm not like that person. But if you see anger, it is anger within you that you need to work on. And if you cannot find it, go study more Torah till you do. Because you will constantly see anger in others until you have totally cleansed the anger within you. I'll give you an example that you probably have not considered. You read in the newspaper or you hear on TV the news. There was an earthquake in China. How does that impact your life? The fact that you read it, the fact that it's part of your knowledge, your information, is a mirror to you. What is an earthquake? It's a wake-up call. You didn't have to experience the physical earthquake, only the spiritual earthquake, which is what information is. A potential for you to recognize the spiritual impact. And this can apply to hurricanes, it can apply to floods, it can apply to every and any natural disaster. The seventh verse. The earth yields her increase as our blessing from God, who is our God. Which names of God are in verse 7. Both are the name Elohim. The six connects us to Zerunpin, to the six emotions, as we spoke about. And the 29 letters connects to the month of Leo, the Kaf and the Tet, the letters that created the month of Av. The 8th verse, may God bless us with awe and his letters, may all of the land be as nothing to me. Isn't the land of Israel important? Why would the verse tell us to make it as nothing to me? Something to contemplate. We will discuss it more in time. 7 words. What does 7 represent? The unity of Zerunpin and Malkut, the 7 lower Sephirot. The unity of the spiritual with the physical. And 31 letters. 31 is the Aleph Lamed. Represents the name El, represents the name associated above the 7 levels. The Kavanah comes from many sages, but mostly from the Baal HaTanya. That's the first Rebbe of the Chabad organization, the Lubavitch organization. This is to be drawn from a blog written by Shmoo the Jew. Perhaps we will do it again. Perhaps not. We will see. The name of the blog is Hardcore Meshora. And I will identify my comments as I usually do below. We are going to stop here because we're almost out of time. We'll never finish this today. And as I said, we'll be studying this for a number of weeks. Are there any questions? While you're unmuting yourselves, I will remind you that tonight, the counting of the Omer needs to be done with your local community or by yourselves. We will not be using the phone this evening as it is Shabbat. I sometimes break that, but not tonight. Tomorrow night, Motzi Shabbat, our 7 o'clock class, we will count the Omer and also read from the Zohar. Sunday morning, we have a 10:30 class and a 3 o'clock class. Are there any questions? Then I wish you all Shabbat Shalom, a beautiful Sabbath, filled with joy, happiness. Shalom Gadol to all. Shalom.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.